For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Thanks, Lori, even though you're not here again this week for yet another Patriots.com roster report podcast. Here at Gillette Stadium, as the month of May is winding down, also winding down this week's sessions of passing camps that was limited to 36 of the younger and inexperienced players. I saw it listed in one of the papers as, quote, the headliners of the week were Dave Thomas, Victor Hobson, and Mike Richardson, some of the experienced players out there. The guy that would really be the headliner is Hobson. I mean, the guy started a lot of games in the league. He's played a lot of games. But mostly young guys, draft picks, undrafted free agents out there working this week. We were out there. No roster moves to speak of. There was no transactions. I would say the biggest note is we found out that Dave Thomas is healthy.
Yeah.
Or at least healthy enough to get on the practice field and do
something. There were some things that he didn't take part in terms of drills. But, yeah, he was out there. That's a good sign.
And, now he's likely not a PUP guy. Because I generally assume all those guys, if I don't see them in these spring things, are strong candidates to begin training camp as PUP guys.
Do you think, we're going to get into the roster here, and you mentioned, Andy, that there were no moves. There's sort of some foreshadowing of maybe some to come, even in the next month or so. But before we get into that, I was going to ask you, do you think you mentioned that Dave Thomas probably, based on the fact that he was out there, probably not on PUP to start camp. Do you think there might be less guys on PUP to start camp than maybe there have been in the past because of the roster limitations? Maybe they need more guys, whereas maybe a guy in the past, kind of err on the side of caution, give him an extra week. Maybe they need him out there. And
Not necessarily, because either way, he's going to count towards the roster, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
that's why I'm saying.
The basic thing you're doing is opening up the PUP window for the season by putting them. So I don't think it'll really change much.
And I think they're probably just a lot healthier this year than they have been in previous offseasons, so they may not need
I don't know.
They may not need to do that.
That I don't know, and you may very well be right, but there's always guys like Benjamin Watson and Ellis
Hobbs. A candidate to both those guys are candidates to be on PUP.
And there's always guys. There's always about five guys like that every year to me that right now you could say he could be on PUP, and I completely understand why. And then on the first day of practice, they could be out there, and I'd say, oh, yeah, well, he must be recovered.
Right.
I just don't know what stage of rehab they're in right now, to accurately make that prediction.
Yeah, I would say those two would be potential candidates, especially Hobbs. When you're talking about two injuries, multiple procedures during the offseason, you got to think there's at least a chance that he'd be a candidate. But talking about the roster and looking at some of the specifics, as you talked about, we were sort of led to believe, and I'll get into some Bill Belichick quotes in a minute talking about the roster, that there could be moves coming at some point due to the fact that there's now a hard cap on the roster, a hard 80-man limit. No longer do you have those NFL Europe roster exemptions that gave you up to 86 spots on the roster. It's going to be a little different. There's been a lot of talk about this. A lot of people, both on the coaching side and the player's side, were hoping the owners would vote on it and expand the rosters to 85 or 86. They did not do that. It's remaining at a hard cap right now. John Fox is on the record saying he's going to have a shorter training camp because of it. He doesn't think there's enough bodies. He thinks the wear and tear. There's some speculation that some teams will cut back on double sessions and change the way they script the practices. So, there's going to be some sort of trickle-down effect. Interestingly, the Patriots, we talk about, are there roster moves coming? Even when you list all the rookies right now, those guys aren't technically on the roster because they haven't signed contracts. But when you list them as the team PR department does, they're only at 81 players.
Right.
So you only have to cut one guy if you have all those guys finally signed to contracts. Potentially, one of those guys could be, based on what Bill said yesterday, a punter. Because they have three guys right now. They carried three into camp last year. But under the new regulations, it looks like they might not do that. Obviously, Mike Dragosevich, the young undrafted rookie free agent. You have the veteran, experienced veteran, but newcomer, Scott Player. And obviously, Chris Hansen, the holdover from last year, who sort of, surprisingly took that job after the three guys that went into camp didn't. Danny Boger had the incident. Tom Malone was cut. And
Josh Miller
was given his papers.
Yeah. and didn't really end up latching on for all that long elsewhere. He was an injury replacement. But I want to read the quote Bill said yesterday when asked about the punters and would they be able to carry three into camp and really let them kick it out over the course of a few weeks. And he'd say, he said, quote, "I'd say it's going to be harder this year given the roster restrictions. Right now, without contracts being signed, we can carry a little bit over the 80. Obviously, that's one over. Mm. But once those guys sign contracts, it's a hard 80 number. We'll have to make some decisions there. I'm not sure that we'll be able to take everyone we want to camp. The numbers have been lower than they have been in previous years with the Europe guys and those types of exemptions." So he's basically saying there might be some cuts coming up in the next, you know, after minicamp or whatever, yeah, sometime in that June, July area before they head into camp. It'll be interesting to see.
Do we know what Hansen's cap number is?
I would assume it's veteran minimum.
Very low. I would assume it's very low because of when he came in.
Right.
That's the only reason why I'm basing it on that. I mean, don't forget it was after September.
Right.
And but signed him. He was out available for anybody.
Either way, you're both those guys, you're talking about a high $100,000 count because they're both, what, 9-10 year type veterans, 8-9. Mm-hmm. Dragosevich would be the cheap guy.
Yeah, obviously. And I think that you accurately portrayed the situation yesterday, Andy, by saying that Dragosevich, unless he really just performs poorly,
unless he stops hitting the roof,
right? You know, he's probably going to be given an opportunity to compete with one of the two veterans,
right?
And you know, one of the two veterans will be let go.
Those guys are more known quantities.
They know what they have there. Maybe they give him mini camp. You know, in June. You know, coming up next week. Actually, it's right around the corner. Next week, June 6th through 8th. Let all three of them kick out there at mini camp, and then you kind of tell one of them, you know, why don't you see if you can hook on somewhere else.
And it's interesting. I didn't know a lot about Dragosevich, but I guess Mel Kiper heading to the draft had him in his top 100 players available.
89,
in the draft.
I want to say.
That's pretty good.
I mean, he clearly has high hopes for him. Maybe he fell in love with the long leg like I do. You know, in theory, there must be some physics there that'll get you extra couple yards of punt.
You're a leg man, huh?
I am a leg man. Crable,
some more repressed homosexuality. Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen enough from him that he's inconsistent, but he's got a strong leg. There was one either yesterday or the day before that he absolutely crushed. So I'd like to see him have a chance to try to win the job over the course of camp. So my guess is players out. Even though he hasn't really done anything, they were comfortable with Hansen's, you know, quote-unquote, situational punting last year. So I think you bring him back as the guy you're comfortable with, and then you bring in Dragosevich and hope he kicks the crap out of the ball and takes the job.
Yeah, did they sign player before Dragosevich was in on a tryout? Can you remember?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, you mean for a pre-draft tryout?
Dragosevich was here at rookie minicamp,
right,
and then they signed
player
him after
was
rookie
already
minicamp.
Here,
was player already signed?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Right. They didn't know they were going to have Dragosevich.
Exactly.
Maybe they thought he was going to be drafted in the third round, like Kiper.
Right.
And player is kind of like Miller was last year with the Browns, I believe. He was a replacement injury type.
Yes.
Right.
Substitution.
Experience.
Yeah, correct.
My guess is I won't get to make fun of his
Yosemite
Sand-like appearance. Another guy talked about yesterday with Bill in relation to the roster, potential addition. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, anybody they add at this point, then that could change this numbers game. Junior Seau.
Mm-hmm.
Bill was asked, you know, are we any closer to coming to a decision there? Because Bill had mentioned at the owners' meetings that wasn't necessarily the time to address it. And he said, I think it is closer to reaching that point. I don't think it's any closer to having any kind of a commitment one way or the other. We're not there just yet, but we're closer. And then he was asked, do you have your crystal ball out? Can you tell? And he said, I'd say it'd probably be closer to training camp than mini camp. So by training camp, they expect to have a decision, which doesn't really tell us anything.
Par for the course, though. That's pretty much how they did it last year.
You know, there was the report that they were going to have him in to get a physical to see if he was healthy enough to sign. I don't know whether that has occurred or not. The report made it sound like it was imminent, that it was something that they were going to do.
Yes, definitely did.
Is there a need for Junior Seau on the roster at this point?
I wouldn't mind having him just for insurance. If they don't get him, I don't think that it's going to be the end of the world, though. You know, at his age, what is this going to be, 19 years for him? You know, we all thought this was going to be it anyway. Last year was going to be it.
Yeah.
So to have him here would just kind of be, I wouldn't expect him to, if he does come back, I would expect him to be less of an every down guy than he was last year and much more situational if need be. Try to get one of these younger guys like Hobson, Mayo, maybe even one of the rookie free agents who's in here, to try to get them more of the playing time and have Seau, if he does anything, be more of a just sort of an emergency kind of role, but or maybe a camp body. But
If he wanted to come back, I'd take him.
It's an interesting question. Interesting situation all around, because first of all, if he wanted to come back, I think I would take him with open arms. No question, because I think we know Bill that tends to gravitate toward the veterans and the known
right.
quantities. But based on last year, if you had, let's say Victor Hobson works out.
Yep.
The coaches obviously know a little bit more about this stuff, you know, than any of us do. But let's just say that Victor Hobson works out. Let's say Gerard Mayo turns out to be a good, solid draft pick and contributes immediately on defense. Okay, so now you have two young guys that, at worst, you can rotate in with a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that if Seau and Bruschi are on the roster, that Seau's not the guy playing and Bruschi's the guy kind of picking up the scraps. Based on what they did last year,
right.
I would rather have Seau out there more often than Bruschi.
Well, he's
in great shape. There's no doubt about that.
I think he played better.
And
he played better than Teddy Bruschi did last year. That's not a knock on Bruschi. He's had a terrific career here in New England. I thought last year, 2007, Junior Seau did a better job on defense than Teddy Bruschi did. Now, they may have been asked to do some different things, certainly, but just judging on what I saw last year, I wouldn't be...
I'd argue the last 2 years he's
been
better than Teddy
I wouldn't Bruschi. Be philosophically opposed to having Seau out there with one of those other guys.
That's why I'd take him.
Yeah,
I think he's got something left in the tank.
It's an interesting situation.
However you choose to use him. And then the other option we would, you know, that we've sort of seen the Vinny Testaverde route is he's not here in training camp. He maybe isn't here in September, but
he's
on the short list.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows he's on the short list, almost expecting somewhere along the line, I'm going to get the call and I'm going to be a Patriot later in the year.
He plays one of those guys that they just, you know, they kind of bring back and forth,
right.
Larry Sanders.
You know somebody's going to get hurt, Bruschi, Mayo. One of those guys will get hurt. You want to add depth at linebacker. What better way than to add a guy that's been here for 2 years, is as experienced as anyone, and now you've shaved maybe 4 or 5 games off, so you really can expect him. I now have him for the final 10, 11, 12 games of the year, and he should be able to make it through that and maintain pretty freshness. So, you know, I think that's a possibility, too, and obviously that'll make him the guy of note because people will keep wondering, well, when are they going to sign Seau now? When are they going to sign Seau? I think you won't necessarily find out definitively come July that his career is done if he doesn't sign with the Patriots, because I think there's a real possibility he could be a mid-year addition.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, I think it's an interesting situation. There's a lot of different ways it could go.
Are there any other ways this podcast could go? Because that's all I got. I had my notes. I pulled in Eric. I did research. I brought highlighted the transcript.
You did podcast prep.
Bringing the actual quotes to a podcast.
Yeah,
is,
that's impressive
that's
for
a,
you.
That's a good job by
top
you.
Notch. Yeah. You know, we're in
despite
the
despite the fact that the show had started about 10 minutes before you.
I didn't
said
have headphones.
Anything.
We don't have Gary here. Two gender didn't get the job done. I had
Lori's
no battery.
Not
in
here
my,
to
Lori's not here.
Out.
I didn't know. No one was pointing at me. You're just flailing over there. I didn't know what you were doing, but.
Just pointing at you to start.
We got it done. We talked Junior Seau. We talked the punting situation. We talked the roster limits, which could affect training camp. Who knows? Maybe the schedule will be different. Maybe the length will be different. But there is going to be, I think, a league-wide discussion throughout this summer of what the roster limit does to the preseason and to the training camp practices. I guess it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. And when it unfolds, we'll talk about it right here on Patriots.com on our weekly Friday afternoon Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Until then, see you next Friday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.